So we're back in the Sermon on the Mount this morning. The big question, which is the sermon title, is what is your aim in life? What do you focus most on? Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. You can turn there. We'll be studying those verses. These are profoundly important verses for me in the past several years, and I'm going to be sharing some personal wrestlings that I've been going through in the last several years that has been difficult but good, but it really relates to Jesus' teaching in this. Just to give a quick summary, Jesus, in preaching the Sermon on the Mount, is really laying out a vision to the people he was preaching to, but to us as well, a vision for what the kingdom of heaven is to be like. And so we saw that he first addressed what our calling and purpose must be. And he simplified that by saying you're to be salt and you're to be light in the world. That's our same purpose and calling today. He addressed what our righteousness must be, and he contrasted the righteousness of the Pharisees with what we're called. So it's not to be external, just external religious activity that all of us can do, but be empty on the inside. But it's supposed to be inward transformation that affects every part of our lives. So not just an empty shell of righteousness, but holistic righteousness. He also addressed what our motivation must be. We looked at that last week. Not the praise and admiration of man like the hypocrites, as he pointed out at the beginning of chapter 6, which is also something that we can live for the praise of people too much. But our motivation must be the joy of glorifying and praising our Heavenly Father. And again, we looked at that last week. So today, what we're going to see is he's going to address what our primary aim in life must be. And again, we're going to see it's different. And my assumption behind everything that Jesus says is that he's confronting the commonly held beliefs of the day that were wrong, and the teachers behind that, who are the scribes and Pharisees. And we're going to see that the primary aim in life that he's going to share, we're going to see him share today, is not what was happening with the scribes and Pharisees. So the big question is, then, with this message, what should be our primary aim in life? What should be your primary aim in life? What should we be living for day in and day out? What we're going to see today, what Jesus says, is there's basically only two options. Only two options for you and I to choose from. One is what God is calling us to, and the other option is the natural one, and what I would say is the normal way of life in the fallen world that all of us probably begin living for by default. Okay? So you probably by default are going to live, and your aim in life, your aims, whatever, in life, by default, are going to be something which God is going to call you out of and to live a different way. And there's really only two options we're going to see. I want to describe that first way, that kind of default way, a little bit to begin with this morning, so that if you don't see it already, you'll be able to hopefully see it more clearly. We live in America, we live in a land of abundant opportunities. I watched a video last night about a guy from North Korea, a lot different situation there, and thank God we don't live there. We live in a land of abundant opportunities, so we have opportunities to pursue and experience many different things and follow your dreams. And certainly, like, sometimes I'll hear phrases like, whatever you believe you can achieve, and that's baloney, okay? Like, there are limitations, very real limitations, but the door is pretty open for us to pursue what we want to pursue with a pretty good chance that we'll achieve success to some degree. In other words, we're not like the people in North Korea. We're not slaves. We're not peasants who are locked into a preset life of bondage and poverty. And that is a wonderful thing. Many opportunities, freedom. But because of those things in our culture, we're conditioned to approach life a certain way that I think is best illustrated, or a great illustration is what happens at our high school graduation ceremonies. Okay, you've probably been to one or many. I've been to a few. Every community, including the communities around us, graduates a class of students each year and sends them out into the world. And what do we tell them, usually? What do you hear at graduation ceremonies? Okay, I've been to a lot of them, and they all sound pretty much the same. You know, whatever you want to do, go for it. You can achieve your dreams. Go as fast as you can, get as high as you can, get as much as you can, and live a life of fullness and abundance. And everybody nods in agreement, and we all think that sounds great. We value freedom, abundance, opportunity, wealth, pursuing your dreams. And so having grown up in that culture, which I don't think it probably matters what generation you are or what decade you are, but most of us, at least, having grown up in this culture, we have lived those kinds of lives. That's what we're conditioned to do in our culture. It's American, so we think it's good, and it must be Christian. Love Jesus, love family, love country, make a lot of money, pursue your dreams. There are many pastors out there who encourage you to live that way. Get rich, be successful, strive for and enjoy the blessings God gives you, and make sure you give a bunch to the church, okay? But I want us to pay really close attention. Like, there's probably going to be times this morning where I'm going to get choked up because this passage is really, I mean, it has hit me hard in a good way in the last several years. But I want you to pay really close attention to what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount today. You are never going to hear what he says and what we look at a normal graduation ceremony. It is not going to match up. Come on. It's not going to match up very well with what we've been conditioned to think. It's not going to match up very well with the charge to pursue the American dream, and it might not match up very well with the way you've been living your life. And because of that, it's really something important that we need to wrestle with, okay? Because these words are coming from Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our Master. What is he going to tell us today? This is, as I've said, a teaching. I'm going to try to stick with my notes, at least to some degree. I've wrestled with a lot in the past 5 years. It's challenged me. It's the 2x4 thing. I always think of you, Wendy, for some reason. Wendy says she likes getting hit by 2x4. I don't as much, but it's good. It's convicted me. It's held me and is holding me accountable. And I would say is currently changing me, and I have a long ways to go, okay? It's been a difficult process, but I'm very thankful to God for it because it gives clarity, and it leads to life. It leads to greater joy than I would have if I didn't pay attention to this. This passage may be challenging for you as well, but if you believe what Jesus says and you follow him, I believe it will bring you into a deeper life of joy and freedom. That's actually freedom and not bondage to the freedom and opportunities that we have. So after Jesus warned the people, what we looked at last week, to avoid sinful motivation, the sinful motivation of doing whatever you do to be seen and praised by others, like the scribes and Pharisees, he warned them to watch out for what they were pursuing in life. And he says this, verses 19 through 24. I want to read the whole passage that we're going to look at this morning, and then we'll break it down. He says this, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one. Man, get a hold of yourself. Here we go. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So as was the case with the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, I think Jesus is confronting something that he saw in the life and the practices of the scribes and Pharisees. If you look at different things that Jesus says in other passages, after giving a very similar message to the Sermon on the Mount to a different crowd, it says that in that he repeated the same phrase and he said, "You cannot serve God and money." But then it says in Luke 6:14, it says this, "The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things and they ridiculed him." So that tells us something about the Pharisees. They were lovers of money. And then another time when he confronted them later in ministry, he said this in Matthew 23:25. He said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." Okay, they're lovers of money, full of greed and self-indulgence. I think Jesus saw this in their lives and in their leadership and how and their religion. And he was confronting that, I think, in what we are looking at today. Because they were lovers of money and full of greed and self-indulgence, Jesus could see that what they were pursuing in this life. They were laying up for themselves treasures on earth and teaching others to do the same. So we need to get a good idea of what that means, because this, I think, is going to confront all of us in the world in which we live. What does it mean to lay up for yourselves treasures on earth? When you look up the Greek words behind that, you find the idea is ongoing, intentional accumulation of more and more. Okay, ongoing, intentional pursuit of, like, that's what I'm living my life for, the accumulation of more and more. So there's a topical lexicon that defined it this way. I thought this was helpful. The verb for laying up, those words, denotes the intentional laying up or amassing of treasure, whether material or immaterial, for future use. It always carries the idea, in as the way it's used in Scripture, is it always carries the idea of deliberate accumulation. That's a key word, deliberate accumulation, rather than casual possession. Okay? Because, and these are key, that's a key definition for us who want to live faithful lives for Jesus, is you have to understand what Jesus is getting at here. Okay? So we'll get back to fleshing that out. That was a pastor's meeting. We're like, is it flushing or fleshing? It's fleshing. Okay, fleshing that out. All right. What I think Jesus saw was that the scribes and Pharisees were devoting their lives to the accumulation of more and more of the treasures of earth, which could have included many different things, material possessions, certainly money, status, power, investments, real estate, etc. And the key problem was that they weren't just acquiring these things, they were pursuing them as their primary aim in life. Okay? They were doing what they were told at their graduation ceremony, or at our graduation ceremonies. Okay? They were devoting their lives to the pursuit of these things. And Jesus was telling his hearers that they must not live like that. He points out in verse 19 that the things that they were devoting themselves to were not going to last. Okay, he just points out an obvious, like, they aren't going to last. They would rot or deteriorate or be stolen or destroyed. They were fleeting treasures, fleeting rewards, and they should not devote their lives to accumulating them. He told a parable, and there's a lot of different teachings that tie in with this. I'll share this one parable. You read about it in Luke 12:15-21. I think I have it up here. And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods.'" He already had enough, but this is more and more and more. "And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years.'" Okay, earthly treasures. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. More earthly treasures. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you've prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Okay, so this guy wanted more and more and more. He lived his life for the accumulation of these things. That was his pursuit and primary aim in life. And Jesus said, you must not be like this man. He was very clear with his hearers, they must not live their lives devoted to the pursuit of earthly treasures. They don't last. It's foolish to set them as the aim of your life. Instead, he says, the much greater pursuit in life is to devote yourself to the accumulation of treasures in heaven, because they're eternal. They don't rot. Rust doesn't destroy them. They aren't stolen. Okay? No one can take them away from you. Okay, so what is he talking about here? I think he's talking about the eternal rewards that we'll receive. You actually start receiving them now and in heaven. Rewards for faithfulness to God, devotion to Jesus, commitment to walking in his ways and carrying out his mission. Okay, using our lives and our earthly resources to love and serve people to expand his kingdom on earth. Don't live for the treasures of earth, live for the treasures of heaven, these kinds of things. And so, you see, Jesus is talking about two different paths of life, and the primary difference is what you devote your life to. Okay, what do you set as your primary aim and pursuit? Will it be the fleeting rewards of earth or the eternal rewards of heaven? And as he goes on now, he makes it very clear that you and I have to choose, because you can't have it both ways, and it is a hard choice to make. Because I think most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, and I'll just be honest with you, I'd like to have it both ways, okay? We want to get, and I want to get as much as I can out of this life right now by pursuing and living for all the opportunities of this world, and then enjoy the rewards of heaven when I die. So live for the treasures of earth during this time, and then when I die, get all those rewards in heaven. That's, you know, I want it all. I want both. And I think some of you know what I'm talking about. Jesus is very clear that it does not work that way. Okay? You cannot have that. He makes a statement in verse 21 that's sobering and clarifying and hopefully convicting if you've been caught up and obsessed with living for the things of this world like the scribes and Pharisees. And I'll share how a struggle I've had in this. So after telling them to be devoted to living for the treasures of heaven and not of earth, he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Okay? What does he mean by that? I think some of you know exactly what he's talking about, and this is the journey that I've been on the last 5 years. And for me, it started when we bought some hunting land in 2021, so it's about 5 years ago. A good thing, a wonderful blessing from God to enjoy, and I was really excited because I grew up in the country. I mean, that was in my blood, like hunting, being in the country. I spent my summers in the woods with my brothers. I loved my upbringing. In the fall, we'd all go hunting. Some of you are going to be able to directly relate to the struggle that I've had. Others, just, it can be anything. Being in the woods, working on projects is refreshing. It's exciting. It's rejuvenating for me. And now, now we have the land for me to do that. All that desire and enjoyment was dormant in me for a long time, and basically unrealized until we bought the land, and then it was like it awakened. It was like it awakened a sleeping giant. The desire in me to go to the woods was powerful. I had all these projects, cleanup projects, and work to do, and I loved almost every part of that, except for maybe picking rocks. And then I started watching all these videos. You wouldn't believe how many videos are out there about how to design and build your property for better deer hunting and bigger bucks. And so that gave me a whole bunch more things to work on. I was learning a lot, trying to figure it out, and I gave a lot of my attention to it. But I started to observe some very troubling things. So I noticed that my desire to enjoy the land had become more like an obsession. I was passionate about working on the land, but my passion for God and ministry was actually declining. I didn't have the same passion that I had before, and at first it was very troubling to me. I didn't understand what was going on. I was confused, but the answer was quite simple. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And it was happening to me. I was going down the same path as the scribes and Pharisees, just in a different way. And the effect it had on my heart was not good. And I want to share, I'm sharing my personal example with you because I think a lot of you can relate with me, whether it's the blessing of land or it's something else in your life. And I want to warn you about the trap that it can be. Because it promises life and it doesn't give it. It takes it. It'll take as much as you give it, but it won't deliver. What it delivers is fleeting and temporary. Okay, that's what blessings are. You know, they're good, they're fleeting, but they are fleeting and temporary. Okay? Where your treasure is, there will be your heart as well. Jesus gave a metaphor to explain what he meant when he said that. And that's this: the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? I think that can be a little difficult to understand, but if you can see what he's talking about, it's quite simple. The eye in that metaphor corresponds with what you treasure most. Your eye, what you gaze at, okay, what captures your gaze, what you treasure most. And the body corresponds with your heart. And so Jesus says the eye is the lamp of the body. Okay, think about the effect that your eyes have on your whole body. So I got my glasses here today because it's just getting worse and worse, but your eyes are like a lamp in the darkness. So if your eyes are working right and they're healthy and clear, they're like a bright lamp that helps you to see where you're going and what you need to do. But if your eyes are getting old and cloudy and your vision is darkened or impaired, they're like a lamp that's running out of oil and it's hard to see and it affects your whole body. You can't see. You fumble around in the darkness. And so the condition of your eyes has a profound effect on the condition of your body. And what Jesus is illustrating is that whatever you treasure most in this life, whatever captures your gaze, is going to have a profound effect on your heart. If you treasure the things of this earth and make them your focus in life, whatever they may be. So I'm going to give a list, but it could be any, you know, for me, you might think my thing is strange. Like, how can anyone like land that much? You're weird. Well, your thing could be weird, okay? So I'll give a few examples. We were talking about one I'll get to. It actually could be your marriage. We talked about that in our class earlier today. But I'll just go through my list. So money, material possessions, your career, making a name for yourself. These are all things of earth. These are not bad things. I don't think I have a bad thing on this list. Good things can be blessings. Health, hobbies, entertainment, even your family and children. If any of these come first for you, and what you focus on most, what captures your gaze, your heart will be devoted to the things of this world. But if you treasure the things of heaven, your relationship with God, seeking to advance His kingdom on earth, investing your life in the spiritual growth of other people like your family and your neighbors, coworkers, friends, other believers, if this is what you focus your life on, your heart will be devoted to the things of God and heaven. Where your gaze is, where your treasure is, where your focus and your pursuit is, that's where your heart's going to be. And just because your gaze and focus and heart may be on God today doesn't mean it's going to be there 5 years from now, because you might get some wonderful blessing in your life that all of a sudden captures your gaze for a while, and you're gonna have to live this out. You got to make choices. What are you gonna focus on? Okay. You have to choose what kind of life you're going to live. You have to choose what you're going to aim for and pursue, because you can't have it both ways. Your heart does not work like that. Your heart is going to follow your treasure, which is why Jesus says at the end, no one can serve two masters. There's so much wisdom. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and you fill in the blank, money, whatever. Those who wish to follow Christ and belong to the kingdom of heaven, here's what he's saying. It's a hard saying. If you want to belong to Christ, and if you want to belong to the kingdom of heaven, you must be devoted first and foremost to the things of God and laying up for yourself treasures in heaven, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be as well. And you cannot serve two masters. How different is this than the graduation speeches that are coming in May? It is contrary to our culture. It's contrary to graduation speeches, and it's unfortunately contrary to what many pastors are saying and how many Christians in America are living. But we have before us the words of Christ Himself. So where I've landed is everybody else is wrong. I'm going to go with what Jesus says. It is critically important that we do not turn a blind eye or a deaf ear to these things, because we do not want Jesus to tell us, like he warns at the end of this sermon, he says, we don't want Jesus to tell us, away from me, I never knew you. So this can be a really hard truth for us to come to terms with. And I've experienced, you can see, I mean, in my struggles of emotions up here, I've experienced the struggle. I've wrestled with this. I've tried to understand, what does this mean for our lives today? It brings up a lot of questions. Does this mean we can't have savings accounts or save up for retirement or grow a business or try to have a successful career or material possessions or hunting land and hobbies? Is it even okay to be deeply in love with your spouse and devoted to your children? How would Jesus answer these questions? I'm not going to stop you. That probably wouldn't be helpful. But like, ask yourself these questions beyond what I'm going to say right now. So I think Jesus would say, it's okay to have these things. Actually, I've given them to you for you to enjoy. Okay? They're good. God's given them to you to enjoy, for you to enjoy, but you cannot live for them or be obsessed with them. They cannot be your passion in life. You can pursue them to a certain degree, but you must ask yourself, am I more passionate about this than I am about God? We have to be careful and watchful. We have to guard our hearts. We have to pay attention to how much time and attention and energy we're giving to the things of this world, because it is going to affect your heart. It already has. And we have to choose to make Christ and our relationship with Him and our work to advance His kingdom our first priority. There is no other way if you want to belong to Christ's kingdom. That's how, I don't know how I can understand what Jesus says a different way. Transformation of the heart isn't going to happen overnight. Because what you treasure, there will be your heart as well. And it takes a while. If you've been treasuring the things of earth, it takes a while to shift and to change that. It doesn't take a while to make changes. We need to make changes now. Okay. But it is a process of growth, and change happens through many daily decisions and practical steps that make an impact on your heart. How are you spending your time? How are you spending your money? What are you giving your attention to? We need to start making practical steps and changes because they will affect our hearts. And it's like my life has been a complete example of this the last 5 years. It's gone both ways. When Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, it wasn't just a warning, it was also a promise. And so for me, when I cut back on the time and attention I give to the land and I keep it in its proper place, it's hard at first because I'm giving up something that I enjoy and my heart's gotten too much into, and so it is hard at first to make these changes, but after time, I have felt the effect it's had on my heart, and it's been really good. If you truly belong to Christ, I don't think you're going to feel right or be at peace by the grace of God until you bring your life into alignment with His will in this area. And that is a gift from God. The things that you're pursuing will produce anxiety. If you're pursuing other things more than God, they will produce anxiety and angst because they will ultimately fail to deliver. But if you take the steps and make the changes to bring your life into alignment with God's will, your heart will also come into alignment and there will be peace and assurance. And you'll actually be able to enjoy the blessings in life and not obsess over them. And so we need to set boundaries and focus more on intentionally pursuing the things of God. Less of these other things, in some cases, death. Sometimes you might have to just cut things out completely. But then also pursuing the things of God more. And so, questions as we close, what is it that has become too important to you in this world? What can you do to put it in its proper place What can you do to revive your heart and passion for God and His kingdom? And basically, these questions are on that discussion guide, I think, in the bulletin. And so I just think we all should take time to reflect and pray about these things. And then if you're in a small group, share about how God is moving in you with your small group members. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would take these things. I think of Hebrews, the word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing through joint and marrow and piercing right to the heart. And it's probably doing that this morning for a lot of us. And I thank you for that. I pray that you would follow this up with love. That even now as we go into communion, we would see that Jesus, what Jesus did and what he gave up for us so that we would belong to his kingdom. That as we look to Jesus, we would see his love and we would experience that, and we would have our driving passion be to know you, Jesus, and to live for knowing you and loving you and following you. In Jesus' name, amen.